I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy September. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Tuesday, the third day of September. We're glad that you're back with us. And yes, indeed, it feels like October this morning. It was in the high 50s out of my house when I walked out the door. Of course, I hadn't grabbed a coat, had to go back and get something to throw on. It is a little bit chilly out there.
Oh, it definitely feels like fall. Yesterday kind of did too.
Oh,
I know. Was what, like 80 high, if that, 70s?
Beautiful. Just beautiful weather. I did a lot this weekend. I went camping, took the grandson with us for at least one of the nights, came home, saw the Sammy Hagar concert, went back, finished camping, dragged the camper home, and then had a first birthday party yesterday for my granddaughter. So,
well, I obviously have to ask how the Sammy Hagar concert was.
I'm sorry, can't hear you. Could you repeat that?
Was the Sammy Hagar concert everything you'd hoped it would be, Mark?
Everything.
Was it?
Everything and more.
Really?
I have to say, I've seen Sammy, I don't know, a dozen times. I've seen him a lot. And that might have been his best show. He performs, he gives his best to St. Louis. Can I just say that? He said it again this time. I've heard it before. He's got a love affair with this town because he used to sell out here when he wasn't selling out in other places in the country. And it's the first place where he ever heard his own voice on the radio. So he was driving into town with Montrose, and he heard Casey playing Space Station from the Montrose album. And he said that was it. He was hooked on St. Louis.
See, it's funny because I actually believe it when you give me the context there. It makes sense why he would really love St. Louis, but I feel like every time an artist comes to town, I love you, St. Louis, this is one of my favorite towns. I'm like, is it?
He sold out. It was a record crowd at Hollywood Casino on Saturday night. And I've been there for a lot of concerts where I've looked back at the lawn, and it's been full all the way up to the fence. But they estimated the crowd at over 20,000, whatever the final number was they gave, Carl.
They crammed as many bodies in there as they could.
It was unbelievable. I'll have more on this later in the morning. But I learned a valuable lesson on my trip to the
concert
amphitheater, because I went to the casino first. I may never do that again. I just have to tell you, it was not a good experience.
Going to the casino?
Well, getting roped into buying the $15 bus pass for the casino where they whip you over there. Now, the bus ride was fine, but the line to get in must have been 400 or 500 people long.
Oh, jeez.
And it took hours to shuttle all those people over there. And a lot of them, of course, got their... wanted to get to the lawn to get good seats. I already had a seat, so I didn't need to worry about that. But it was oversold. They should have put a limit, but all they cared about, I think, was the cash. So they sold as many of those $15 passes as they could. And when we pulled out in the bus, there were people stretched from the front of the casino all the way down the hill and around to where the parking garage is. It was there had to have been 400 people in that line, 500. And they could only load, 30 at a time onto a bus. So it
And
took,
they had stopped selling beer by then.
It took a long time to get people over there. Wow.
Angry anyway. Crowd waiting, I'm sure.
Everybody wanting to see some Sammy, and what a show it was. Well, hopefully everybody had a good weekend and enjoyed their Labor Day and had to listen to, hopefully, if you tuned out of the news cycle over the weekend, We've got some good stuff for you this morning. Remember, Kim, I've played this for you before, and you were stunned because you didn't believe that it was Hillary Clinton. Remember this? Do you remember when I played this for you?
You know, I'm not sitting here as some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette. I'm sitting here because I love him, and I respect him, and I honor what he's been through and what we've been through together.
Yeah, I still am in disbelief.
This weekend, Kamala Harris started doing the same thing that Hillary's done her whole life. She puts on a fake accent depending on which crowd she's talking to. And it was hard to listen to, number one, because you know she's a liberal from California. She's from Northern California. Never lived in the South. But when she thinks she's talking to her crowd or a crowd that would support her, in this case, a probably predominantly black crowd, she puts on an accent. And I'm going to play some of it for you here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get to this because she was working it hard on Labor Day. Trump took the day off, but she was out telling all these labor unions, you need to vote against Donald Trump. He doesn't support the minimum wage. I'm thinking the increase in the minimum wage. I'm thinking most people with common sense don't, because they realize what's led to all of the inflation we've been dealing with. I'm not sure that's a good argument for her. So we'll see. Anyway, I'm going to play some of that for you coming up here in a few minutes. We got former Senator John Lamping on a little later. Todd Pyro today. It's Tuesday, of course, and we're going to get to 2A Tuesday with Jared Taylor. Talk about the Second Amendment Protection Act that's been tossed out by a court, and what's going to happen in that case most likely. So we'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. Carl, let's hit our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We are the greatest manufacturing city or county in the world, state in the world, city in the world.
We're the best facility, county, state in the world. Joe Biden, I believe, has gone downhill since the last time we heard from him 15 days ago.
ABC is probably the worst in terms of fairness. George Flapadopoulos, head of ABC, is her best friend and her husband's best friend, too.
Yeah, so is it any wonder they wanted to do the first debate between Trump and Kamala on ABC? They insisted on it. Had to be ABC News.
Kamala, you don't talk like that. You are an Indian woman from California.
One of the influencers who happens to be a black guy himself calling out Kamala for the ever-shifting voices she used over the weekend.
Why did we want Trump there? It wasn't to help his political campaign. We wanted a leader. That explains why you and Joe didn't get a call.
Wow. Lots of fallout for the Harris campaign this weekend from these Gold Star families fed up. That was Mark Schmitz, by the way, who we've had on the show numerous times, father of Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, who died at Abbey Gate. And he was pissed. I don't know any other way to put it. And I watched a number of these Gold Star families who not all of them were involved in the wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington. A number of them were, but they are the ones as a group that invited Trump to be there. And they are angry at the Harris folks for turning this into some sort of a political controversy when they're the ones not only who dropped the ball by not recognizing this tragedy that happened a little over 3 years ago now at Abbey Gate with this botched withdrawal, but by having never, listen to the word never come out of my mouth here, met with the families ever. Even have Kamala, they had Kristen Welker running interference this weekend for Harris, lying in an interview with Tom Cotton, trying to defend, well, Kamala Harris was there when the bodies were brought back. No, they had to issue a retraction. NBC did, saying, oh, she misspoke. Yeah, she misspoke because she's so desperate to run interference for the Harris campaign. It's sad. I want to play a little bit of what Schmitz had to say here. Go to cut five, Carl, please.
You have 13 families who have been waiting over 3 years to so much as get a phone call, to so much as hear our kids' names said aloud in the halls of Congress, at a State of the Union, hell, anything. The irony behind your post that you give a rat's ass about our military or our veterans, Jared's brothers and sisters in arms, the rest of the 12, their brothers and sisters in arms, is an outright lie. We're living proof of that. You're despicable. You have zero business running this country. And I pray to God, Americans, wake the hell up and get your ass out of office. You have spit in our face for the last time.
Wow. I told you he was mad. And I watched several other videos from the Gold Star parents with similar passion.
So. The fact that they never were called is insane to me. And I also would be curious if any of those 13 family members would have supported, I guess in this case, Joe Biden before all of this happened. And then seeing their lack of a response change their mind.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're certainly angry about this. And we got more news, of course, coming out of Israel because of the murders of, what, five or six more hostages. But just cold-blooded murdered by these terrorists. And you've still got Kamala Harris and other people calling for a two-state solution and wanting Israel to back off. These people are animals. I like animals, so maybe I shouldn't use that comparison. What's going on over there is outrageous. And the fact that they're all mad at Netanyahu for not making a deal, he agreed to the terms. It was Hamas who wouldn't come to the table. So we're going to talk more about that this morning as well. Right now, time to get to a quick break. Carl, who's got our national anthem?
Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Jimmy Buffett's passing. So here's Jimmy Buffett.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank unions for sick leave. Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time. You better thank a union member for the 5-day work week. You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time.
You better.
Did you thank a union member, Mark?
She used the same line in two different appearances the same day in different states, one in Detroit, one in Pennsylvania, and in one she affected some ethnic accent that she decided might appeal better to that particular crowd. I've never heard her use that one before. I mean, sometimes she's got ramped up on something and at a speech and gotten, you know, I don't know. Affected some kind of a different accent. That's the most blatant example of it I've heard. What pandering. I mean, and maybe the people in that crowd don't care, but other people watching it should.
When
Donald Trump uses an accent or mimics somebody's voice, the media's all over him for it.
That's what Donald Trump should do. If he goes somewhere in the South, he should be like, "All right, I'm so glad to be here, Alabama." Can you imagine the uproar from the mainstream media if Trump put on an accent like Kamala Harris does?
I know.
It's not even a good accent. Kamala didn't even have a good accent.
Well, there's another one that I've got here. I've got to find it. I'm not quite sure where I put it. I don't know if I sent it to Carl or not. I meant to. But there's one where she is overheard some woman ask her about collard greens. Now, I got a lot of my mom grew up eating collard greens. She loves them. I'm not a fan personally. I don't like spinach or any of that stuff, so that's not a surprise. But she went on telling this woman about how she's fixed collard greens in a bathtub, and the people online were just savage with their comments on the fact that, number one, nobody they know has ever soaked collard greens in a bathtub. And then she talked about putting Tabasco and hot sauce in them and all this other stuff. It's all very clear. This is a West Coast liberal from San Francisco trying to appeal to people in a rural area to tell them that somehow she's like them because she's got a recipe for collard greens. I mean, it's almost as insulting as the hot sauce comment by Hillary Clinton during her campaign with Trump. And if you remember that or not, trying to suggest somehow that African Americans carry hot sauce around in their purse or something, and so does she, so she's like them. It's just that, it's that ridiculous. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim for a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
We want
country.
Where do we want it?
No. That's what more than 10,000 housekeepers, cooks, and staffers say they're spending their Labor Day on picket lines demanding. In Greenwich, Connecticut, Boston, San Francisco, Seattle, San Jose, and even Hawaii. This as the workers' union approves strikes in additional cities later this week.
It's hard to build savings, living oftentimes paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, heads up, if you have any travel plans this week, I know we just had Labor Day, but maybe people thought, okay, it's going to be expensive to travel over Labor Day, so they're waiting to go this week, or you're traveling for work or something. 25 cities across the country are dealing with these strikes. These hotel workers at the chains Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott are all on strike. You heard part of that yesterday, Labor Day, when they were out there on the picket line.
Okay.
They're asking for higher pay, better conditions, more staff, all the things that you would imagine when people are striking. But I thought what was interesting was they're upset about what was implemented during COVID. Because remember during COVID, they would say, hey, just to keep things a little bit safer, would you be willing to not have your room cleaned every single night you're here? Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
So now they're upset because I guess a lot of hotels have continued with that. So they're saying that they've had their hours cut as a result of that. They've lost income. And then I guess, which makes sense that there's some sort of a time frame that they're expected to stick to per room. So, okay, you have 30 minutes to clean per room, roughly, to stay on schedule. So they're saying these people aren't having their rooms cleaned for maybe 4 days. And then at the end, it's an absolute train wreck. And so they said that they can't even keep up with the schedule anymore. So,
but wouldn't they have fewer rooms to clean, even if the room cleaning took a little longer, if they were waiting every fourth day?
Well, you would think that, but then, I don't know, in my brain it worked out where I can see where it would still be a lot to try to keep up with all of the rooms if they're really disgusting. Because I'm one of those people who I tidy up when I leave the hotel room. I can only imagine the things that these people find when they go in to clean. Like, I mean, I've heard horror stories. And I don't even want to know the disgusting things they've come across.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that job either. This is something that gets me in a little bit of trouble with people sometimes, because I understand that you are upset with your working conditions. Ultimately, there's a need to accept some responsibility for what puts you in your situation. At the end of the day, I've been a member. I was raised by a father who was in a steelworkers union. I worked in a union at Channel 4 for nearly 20 years. I understand collective bargaining and what the goal is of the union leaders, always to get a little bit more money for their union members. But I have never had my pay affected by a union. The amount of money I've been able to make over the course of my career has always been tied to performance and me trying to get the job that I wanted, whatever that happened to be. There may have been people making more money than me or people making less money than me, but you walked into an office and you negotiated your own pay with your boss at the end of the day. So I understand you're frustrated with your working conditions here. But ultimately, it's your responsibility that landed you in that situation to begin with. So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for them.
Yeah, I definitely see your point. I think, you know, my mindset would be, well, there are a lot of other jobs you could go do. And they would then probably say, well, this is what I've been. In fact, the guy you heard in the beginning of the soundbite, he was saying, I've been with the company for like 25 years. So I get that. That's hard just to pack up and be like, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. That's really all you've known at this point. So I do understand that. And I do think that not just hotels, businesses in general have they were forced in some cases, but chose in others to implement different practices during COVID, like these hotels did. And they don't want to go back because they realize they can still do it and get away with it. So that is where I am bothered. So I do think you have a point. At some point, you have to take personal responsibility. Okay,
you
chose to work for them. You could choose to no longer work for them. But I do think that some of these businesses are being cheap and need to get back to what was before COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. These hotels are all still operating, but with the skeleton crew. So they're not all offering the full services. So I would imagine not only because it's not just the cleaners, it's the cooks. So your continental breakfast with that waffle that you're really excited about.
Yeah, but you have to make your own waffle.
Who cares? That's the best part of staying in a hotel.
You have to make your own
waffle,
though.
When they have the waffle makers are the best. The worst is when someone goes and they have, and I'm not knocking big families, love big families, but you have like 10 people and you're just beep, 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 beep.
You're waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have like 4 more waffles that I need to make. Oh, okay. Let me knit a sweater while I wait for you because it takes forever.
Yes.
Anyway, I didn't mean to talk about waffle. I clearly am very passionate about these waffles. I didn't realize that till I started talking about it. But it's going to be interesting to see where this goes because more cities are supposed to start striking. And
so are they members of a union?
They're members of a union. Yep. It's called Unite Here Union. And this is not the first time they've gone on strike. They went on strike, I believe it was around the July 4th weekend of last year. And I don't really think much came from that. And that's the other thing. I mean, we saw the union workers striking UAW, right? That was, gosh, how long ago was that at this point?
2 years ago, maybe?
No. It was since I've been working here.
Okay.
Remember
it's
that?
Okay.
Stellantis.
I do remember them going on strike.
Is that, 6 months ago?
And that same jerk has, of course, endorsed Kamala Harris.
Right. Which
even
makes,
though they led to the problems in the first place.
Right.
Their economy.
Makes no sense.
No.
And they were successful in a number of ways in that strike. But that went on for quite some time.
Yeah. And I was a little surprised that the companies caved to them in the ways that they did. Here's my problem. And again, observation is somebody who has been a union member and will draw a pension from that because I paid into it for 20 years at some point. This is my biggest challenge because I've worked in a union environment in a steel plant for a summer and I watched it firsthand. I worked in that environment in St. Louis and watched it firsthand. Unions only appeal to the lowest common denominator. That's who they're designed to appeal to. And that's the irritating part of this argument, that if you walk into a job and it doesn't matter if the person in the booth next to you has been there for 20 years or not, you demand the same pay that person's making because they're doing the same job.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken crap. That's not how it should be.
Yep.
You should be rewarded for your longevity. You should make more than the person next to you. Unions do that, right? I mean, journeymen make more than people that are apprentices and just walked into the building and all of this. My biggest problem with it is it rewards the laziest people in the building, and it doesn't benefit the hardest working people in the building. And you and I witnessed this with our friends that when we worked in television news.
Right.
And
you're saying it's
shops.
Not merit based, essentially.
It's not.
No, they're about the equity.
You bust your butt and do a great job and you're still getting the same pay as the slouch who doesn't do anything but just comes in and hits the clock for 8 hours.
Well, I didn't want to join the union. When I went to Channel 4, I remember asking the person, I'm not going to name him, but he headed up the union for the newsroom. And I said, I really don't want to be part of this. Can I just opt out?
You don't have
it out. Well, the look on his face was like, what? I mean, his comment to me was more or less, you could, I guess, for whatever reason, if you're that crazy and you don't want to be in the union, fine. But you should be in the union. Like basically telling me I would be ostracized and looked down upon if I did not join that dang union. And guess what? Okay, so I caved. I did it. And immediately they're like, oh, and that'll be I don't know, $2,000 in fines.
Yeah.
And guess what they did
pay
for
up.
Me? Absolutely nothing. Zero. Zilch. When I lost my job, zilch. All they did was work with Channel 4 to make sure that I was gone because they supported the dang mandate. And I didn't mean to turn this back on me, But that they did nothing, seriously, nothing in my situation.
Yeah.
So I am not a big fan. I've not enjoyed being part of a union. And I mean, you go turn on like a light in the newsroom and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. you cannot touch that light switch.
It wasn't that
bad. Is a union job. You're not certain. You can't do that. Stay away from the light switch. One time, my husband, Michael, we were on breaking news during COVID time. I know we have to go to commercial break. We were COVID time, craziness where no one was working in the newsroom. Well, he happened to be with me. So breaking news, we're stuck in all this traffic. I can't meet up with a photographer. So he went and held up the iPhone and we were able to go live from my iPhone and he shot it. And I got in trouble for that. I was told absolutely not. Someone clearly complained about us.
Well, of course.
And said, you're taking a union job. That's a photographer who should
but
be.
But they couldn't
who
get a photographer should, to you.
You can't even get a photographer to me. So aren't you at least glad we made it on the air? But no, I got reprimanded because my then, I guess, boyfriend at the time or fiance, whatever he was, was shooting it on his iPhone.
Would you rather have held the... hold the phone yourself
selfie?
Like a selfie shot?
Get one of the selfie sticks?
Oh, my gosh. It's just... It's ludicrous in many, 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 many ways. And I have good friends who are in it still. So, you know, God bless you. But didn't work for me. Never did. I don't understand it. I don't. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to some more of this breaking news from over the weekend with President Trump speaking out about ABC News. If you haven't heard this bite, I do want you to hear it. And the demands for this upcoming debate. It's a week from today, believe it or not. We're going to be back in just a minute. All right. Welcome back. Just give me a moment here on my own show to reflect a little bit.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
That's what more than 10,000 housekeepers, cooks, and staffers say they're spending their Labor Day on picket lines demanding. In Greenwich, Connecticut, Boston, San Francisco, Seattle, San Jose, and even Hawaii. This as the workers' union approves strikes in additional cities later this week.
It's hard to build savings, living oftentimes paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, heads up, if you have any travel plans this week, I know we just had Labor Day, but maybe people thought, okay, it's going to be expensive to travel over Labor Day, so they're waiting to go this week, or you're traveling for work or something. 25 cities across the country are dealing with these strikes. These hotel workers at the chains Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott are all on strike. You heard part of that yesterday, Labor Day, when they were out there on the picket line.
Okay.
They're asking for higher pay, better conditions, more staff, all the things that you would imagine when people are striking. But I thought what was interesting was they're upset about what was implemented during COVID. Because remember during COVID, they would say, hey, just to keep things a little bit safer, would you be willing to not have your room cleaned every single night you're here? Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
So now they're upset because I guess a lot of hotels have continued with that. So they're saying that they've had their hours cut as a result of that. They've lost income. And then I guess, which makes sense that there's some sort of a time frame that they're expected to stick to per room. So, okay, you have 30 minutes to clean per room, roughly, to stay on schedule. So they're saying these people aren't having their rooms cleaned for maybe 4 days. And then at the end, it's an absolute train wreck. And so they said that they can't even keep up with the schedule anymore. So,
but wouldn't they have fewer rooms to clean, even if the room cleaning took a little longer, if they were waiting every fourth day?
Well, you would think that, but then, I don't know, in my brain it worked out where I can see where it would still be a lot to try to keep up with all of the rooms if they're really disgusting. Because I'm one of those people who I tidy up when I leave the hotel room. I can only imagine the things that these people find when they go in to clean. Like, I mean, I've heard horror stories. And I don't even want to know the disgusting things they've come across.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that job either. This is something that gets me in a little bit of trouble with people sometimes because I understand that you are upset with your working conditions. Ultimately, there's a need to accept some responsibility for what puts you in your situation. At the end of the day, I've been a member. I was raised by a father who was in a steelworkers union. I worked in a union at Channel 4 for nearly 20 years. I understand collective bargaining and what the goal is of the union leaders, always to get a little bit more money for their union members. But I have never had my pay affected by a union. The amount of money I've been able to make over the course of my career has always been tied to performance and me trying to get the job that I wanted, whatever that happened to be. There may have been people making more money than me or people making less money than me, but you walked into an office and you negotiated your own pay with your boss at the end of the day. So I've always, I mean, I understand you're frustrated with your working conditions here, but ultimately it's your responsibility that landed you in that situation to begin with. So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for them.
Yeah, I definitely see your point. I think, you know, my mindset would be, well, there are a lot of other jobs you could go do, and they would then probably say, well, this is what I've been. In fact, the guy you heard in the beginning of the soundbite, he was saying, I've been with the company for like 25 years. So I get that. That's hard just to pack up and be like, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. That's really all you've known at this point. So I do understand that. And I do think that not just hotels, businesses in general they were forced in some cases, but chose in others to implement different practices during COVID, like these hotels did. And they don't want to go back because they realize they can still do it and get away with it. So that is where I am bothered. So I do think you have a point. At some point, you have to take personal responsibility. Okay,
you
chose to work for them. You could choose to no longer work for them. But I do think that some of these businesses are being cheap and need to get back to what was before COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. These hotels are all still operating, but with the skeleton crew. So they're not all offering the full services. So I would imagine not only because it's not just the cleaners, it's the cooks. So your continental breakfast with that waffle that you're really excited about.
Yeah, but you have to make your own waffle.
Who cares? That's the best part of staying in a hotel.
You have to make your own waffle,
when they have the waffle makers are the best. The worst is when someone goes and they have, and I'm not knocking big families, love big families, but you have like 10 people and you're just beep, 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 beep.
You're waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have like 4 more waffles that I need to make. Oh, okay. Let me knit a sweater while I wait for you because it takes forever.
Yes.
Anyway, I didn't mean to talk about waffle. I clearly am very passionate about these waffles. I didn't realize that till I started talking about it. But it's going to be interesting to see where this goes because more cities are supposed to start striking. And
so are they members of a union?
They're members of a union. Yep. It's called Unite Here Union. And this is not the first time they've gone on strike. They went on strike, I believe it was around the July 4th weekend of last year. And I don't really think much came from that. And that's the other thing. I mean, we saw the union workers striking UAW, right? That was, gosh, how long ago was that at this point?
2 years ago, maybe?
No. It was since I've been working here.
Okay.
Remember that?
Okay.
Stellantis.
I do remember them going on strike.
Is that, what, like 6 months ago?
And that same jerk has, of course, endorsed Kamala Harris.
Right. Which
even though they led to the problems in the first place.
Right.
Their economy.
Makes no sense.
No.
And they were successful in a number of ways in that strike. But that went on for quite some time.
Yeah. And I was a little surprised that the companies caved to them in the ways that they did. Here's my problem. And again, observation is somebody who has been a union member and will draw a pension from that because I paid into it for 20 years at some point. This is my biggest challenge because I've worked in a union environment in a steel plant for a summer and I watched it firsthand. I worked in that environment in St. Louis and watched it firsthand. Unions only appeal to the lowest common denominator. That's who they're designed to appeal to. And that's the irritating part of this argument, that if you walk into a job and it doesn't matter if the person in the booth next to you has been there for 20 years or not, you demand the same pay that person's making because they're doing the same job.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken crap. That's not how it should be.
Yep.
You should be rewarded for your longevity. You should make more than the person next to you. Unions do that, right? I mean, journeymen make more than people that are apprentices and just walked into the building and all of this. My biggest problem with it is it rewards the laziest people in the building, and it doesn't benefit the hardest working people in the building. And you and I witnessed this with our friends that when we worked in television news.
Right, you're saying it's not merit based, essentially.
It's not.
No, they're about the equity.
You bust your butt and do a great job, and you're still getting the same pay as the slouch who doesn't do anything but just comes in and hits the clock for 8 hours.
Well, I didn't want to join the union. When I went to Channel 4, I remember asking the person, I'm not going to name him, but he headed up the union for the newsroom, and I said, you know, I really don't want to be part of this. Can I just opt out?
You don't have
it out. Well, the look on his face was like, what? I mean, his comment to me was more or less, you could, I guess, for whatever reason, if you're that crazy and you don't want to be in the union, fine, but you should be in the union. Like, basically telling me I would be ostracized and looked down upon if I did not join that dang union. And guess what? Okay, so I caved. I did it. And, like, immediately they're like, oh, and that'll be, like, I don't know, $2,000 in fines.
Yeah.
And guess what they did
pay
for
up.
Me? Absolutely nothing. Zero. Zilch. When I lost my job, zilch. All they did was work with Channel 4 to make sure that I was gone because they supported the dang mandate. And I didn't mean to turn this back on me, but that they did nothing, seriously, nothing in my situation.
Yeah.
So I am not a big fan. I've not enjoyed being part of a union.
And
I mean, you go turn on like a light in the newsroom and they're like, whoa. you cannot touch that light switch.
It wasn't that
bad. Is a union job. You're not certain. You can't do that. Stay away from the light switch. One time, my husband, Michael, we were on breaking news during COVID time. I know we have to go to commercial break. We were COVID time, craziness where no one was working in the newsroom. Well, he happened to be with me. So breaking news, we're stuck in all this traffic. I can't meet up with a photographer. So he went and held up the iPhone, and we were able to go live from my iPhone, and he shot it, and I got in trouble for that. I was told absolutely not. Someone clearly complained about us.
Well, of course.
And said, you're taking a union job. That's a photographer who should
but
be.
But they couldn't
who
get a photographer should, to you.
You can't even get a photographer to me. So aren't you at least glad we made it on the air? But no. I got reprimanded because my then, I guess, boyfriend at the time or fiance, whatever he was shooting it on his iPhone.
Would you rather have held hold the phone yourself
selfie?
Like a selfie shot?
Get one of the selfie sticks?
Oh my gosh. It's just, it's ludicrous in many, 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 many ways. And I have good friends who are in it still. So, you know, God bless you. But didn't work for me. Never did. I don't understand it. I don't. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to some more of this breaking news from over the weekend with President Trump speaking out about ABC News. If you haven't heard this bite, I do want you to hear it. And the demands for this upcoming debate. It's a week from today, believe it or not. We're going to be back in just a minute. All right. Welcome back. Just give me a moment here on my own show to reflect a little bit about that concert I saw on Saturday night. My ears are still ringing. We had fantastic seats in the lower bowl there. The place had record attendance, 20,000 plus. Apparently broke a record of some sort for the amphitheater. And Sammy did not play that song, by the way, Carl. But he played a bunch of Van Halen, some deeper cuts, and a couple of observations. The man, Loverboy, came out first and warmed up for them. The lead singer of Loverboy,
Mike Reno,
looked like they had gone and found him at the buffet line somewhere and brought him to the concert. He had a big gut on him and shock white hair. And I looked at him and I thought, there is no way that is that good looking kid from Loverboy from all those years ago, because I haven't aged at all. And this guy looked like he should be in a nursing home somewhere. And I go look and he's 69 years old, right? He's only 69 years old. He looked like hell. Now, they sounded pretty good. Their lead guitarist is 78 and he did a really good job. Like, the guitar work was outstanding. I believe everybody on the stage was part of the original band. I could be wrong.
I thought Loverboy was a song title for Sammy Hagar.
Everybody's working for the weekend. No, you know that song. And they've got a bunch of great songs. And he actually sounded better than I expected. So then,
and they only played eight songs.
Sammy Hagar comes out on the stage. He's 70, about to be 77 years old. He's going to go to Cabo and celebrate his birthday next month. And so he's 76 years old. He's 6 years older than, 7 years older, I guess, than the Loverboy lead singer. And he looked great. And he sounded great. And he just finished this long tour. This was the last date. And he just gave everything he had to St. Louis. It was probably one of the best Sammy Hagar concerts I've seen, and I've seen him for the past 20 years. I mean, I saw him when he was 20 years younger. The energy level, he's just passionate about the music. And it was a tribute to Eddie Van Halen, but he only mentioned Eddie's name like twice during the whole show, maybe for copyright reasons. I don't know why, but they played all this great Van Halen music. Joe Satriani is potentially, again, now probably one of the top five or six guitarists I've ever seen in my life. I could not believe how good that guy was.
Yes.
He killed it. They all killed it, I think. Kenny Aronoff filled in for Jason Bonham, and he didn't miss a beat. It sounded fantastic. So if you missed it, you missed a lot. And I don't know when he'll be back. I think maybe he may be nearing the end of his touring days, but I'm so glad I got to see that concert.
He's going to have the final tour, and then there's going to be five more tours after that.
Mark will go to that one,
I'll go
too.
To single one of them that I can get to, I'll have to say. Yes, I will. It was fantastic. If you missed it, you missed a lot. Coming up, we'll talk more about some new polling out that is good news for Donald Trump.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, welcome back. Just give me a moment here on my own show to reflect a little bit about that concert I saw on Saturday night. My ears are still ringing. We had fantastic seats in the lower bowl there. The place had record attendance, 20,000 plus. Apparently broke a record of some sort for the amphitheater. And Sammy did not play that song, by the way, Carl. But he played a bunch of Van Halen, some deeper cuts, and a couple of observations. The man, Loverboy, came out first and warmed up for them. The lead singer of Loverboy,
Mike Reno,
looked like they had gone and found him at the buffet line somewhere and brought him to the concert. He had a big gut on him and shock white hair, and I looked at him and I thought, there is no way that is that good-looking kid from Loverboy from all those years ago, because I haven't aged at all. And this guy looked like he should be in a nursing home somewhere. And I go look, and he's 69 years old, right? He's only 69 years old. He looked like hell. Now, they sounded pretty good. Their lead guitarist is 78, and he did a really good job. Like, the guitar work was outstanding. I believe everybody on the stage was part of the original band. I could be wrong.
I thought Loverboy was a song title for Sammy Hagar.
Everybody's working for the weekend. No, you know that song. And they've got a bunch of great songs. And he actually sounded better than I expected. So then,
and they only played eight songs.
Sammy Hagar comes out on the stage. He's 70, about to be 77 years old. He's going to go to Cabo and celebrate his birthday next month. And so he's 76 years old. He's 6 years older than, 7 years older, I guess, than the Loverboy lead singer. And he looked great. And he sounded great. And he just finished this long tour. This was the last date. And he just gave everything he had to St. Louis. It was probably one of the best Sammy Hagar concerts I've seen, and I've seen him for the past 20 years. I mean, I saw him when he was 20 years younger. The energy level, he's just passionate about the music. And it was a tribute to Eddie Van Halen, but he only mentioned Eddie's name like twice during the whole show, maybe for copyright reasons. I don't know why, but they played all this great Van Halen music. Joe Satriani is potentially, again, now probably one of the top five or six guitarists I've ever seen in my life. I could not believe how good that guy was.
Yes.
He killed it. They all killed it, I think. Kenny Aronoff filled in for Jason Bonham, and he didn't miss a beat. It sounded fantastic. So if you missed it, you missed a lot. And I don't know when he'll be back. I think maybe he's he may be nearing the end of his touring days, but I'm so glad I got to see that concert.
He's going to have the final tour, and then there's going to be five more tours after that.
Mark will go to that
one,
too.
And I'll go to every single one of them that I can get to, I'll have to say. Yes, I will. It was fantastic. If you missed it, you missed a lot. Coming up, we'll talk more about some new polling out that is good news for Donald Trump.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.